Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talking some NBA. NBA Finals are coming up. Bill Ryder from CBS joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. And, well, I don't know. The conference finals ended about a month and a half ago. So I think it's about time, Bill, that we get into some basketball here. Warriors and Raptors. I think one of the first questions I wanted to ask is the delay between the finals of the conference and the finals of the finals, because this is not what these athletes are used to having, is this kind of break. And I wonder if it's going to be tough on these guys at all.
Yeah, it's a great point. I remember as a beat writer back in the day how much I just hated it with a burning passion, because I would just do the math and think I can be around my kids 6 days earlier if we just get this show on the road. I think it gives, and we'll see, but I think it gives the Raptors a slight advantage because they've obviously played most recently, and having some rust and not having played in a while, guys, I'll tell you, in the NBA, sometimes at least the first game of a series, it can throw you off a little bit.
Yeah. Bill, I got to ask a little bit about this NBA Finals. It's a little different than we've seen in years past, right? No LeBron James. He moves out of the West, and now Toronto has seemingly taken that next step forward, and they're in the finals. What kind of matchup do you think this series can produce?
Yeah, I mean, over at CBSSports.com, and I hate these predictions, even though I ask them like I'm sure you guys do every day on the radio. I'm a hypocrite, but I went Warriors. I went Warriors in five, and I do think the Warriors will win the series. But I'm well aware that just the incredible level of domination by Kawhi Leonard on both sides of the ball didn't just upend what certainly I thought I knew about the Eastern Conference Finals. The last time we saw Kawhi healthy with the Spurs in the postseason, they got up by 20-some points against the Warriors. He got hurt. Warriors won the game. You know, they went on to all the glory and greatness. But Kawhi is this great X factor. It feels to me like the Warriors should win this fairly easily for a variety of reasons. And then I look at Kawhi, and I remember Toronto's got home court advantage, and I think, man, Kawhi Leonard is such an enigma and such a talent, it really could confound what we all think we know about what's going to happen over the next couple weeks.
Talk a little bit about Kawhi. I mean, we have obviously known him for a little bit longer than most of the rest of the country, having seen him in San Diego and at San Diego State. Although I must admit, even both Tony and I, who went to San Diego State, we never saw this Kawhi Leonard in school. We saw a very good player. We didn't see one that we thought would be one of the best in the NBA. But what is it that is starting to separate him from the pack a little bit? I mean, more and more people are jumping on the Kawhi bandwagon and saying, look, he may not be the best shooter. He may not be the best passer. He may not be the best rebounder or best defender. But when you put it all together, he might be among the best.
Yeah, it's astounding. And really, it's for me, it's a return to what we thought he was going to be, a challenger for LeBron's legacy when the Spurs last won an NBA championship and Kawhi became the second youngest finals MVP in the history of the game behind a guy named Magic Johnson. And then obviously the drama and the injury and whatever that sort of weird schism and divorce with the Spurs was, it sidelined Kawhi's greatness because he was not playing basketball. I think it's, you know, it's so interesting. Offensively, he's not supposed to be this good, right? Like, we knew he was great offensively or could be a really important weapon. I don't think we realized the extent to which he could go into a team like the Raptors, right? No Greg Popovich there, no supposed Popovich brilliance, and offensively and utterly carry this team. And simultaneously, and you guys know that it's so hard to do both in basketball, be a defensive stopper at a historical level. Quick stat for you, Giannis this season against individual defenders scored 32 points per 100 possessions against the second-best defender against him in the NBA. It was Blake Griffin. 32 points per 100 possessions against Kawhi, including the playoffs, 15 points per 100 possessions. Mm. So Kawhi is literally twice as effective as the next closest defender in the NBA. he's doing it against Giannis on that stage and pouring in 35 every night. I mean, it is just a two-way level of basketball that we have not, and I'm trying to think of the last guy. I know Doc Rivers went with the Jordan comparison, and part of that's because Doc Rivers wants to recruit Kawhi to the Clippers.
Smart man, right?
Right, yeah, there's something to it. I mean, I know Shaq's obviously a vastly different player, but when Shaq cared about defense, which was this time of year, he's obviously a force both directions. I mean, Kawhi is playing Hall of Level, all-time great basketball, offensively and defensively, under the most ridiculous amounts of pressure. And against Giannis, against one of the most talented, transcendent athletes offensively in the game, he's just doing everything at a level you're not supposed to be able to do everything at this time of year.
Bill Ryder joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, host of Ryder Than You, CBS Sports. Bill, this Golden State team, this is possibly the last time we're going to see this team as constructed, right? I think everybody's assuming KD's gone. But how likely is it that they lose a Klay Thompson? Will this be the last time we get a chance to see this Golden State team as is?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think in KD, it's his own sort of private dude who keeps his own counsel. And I think, like with when he went to Golden State, if there's an unlikely series of events, and the last unlikely series of events was the Thunder collapse 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors, and then the Warriors collapsed with a 3-1 lead against LeBron and the Cavs, right? I think both those things had to happen for KD to go to Golden State. I think something similar crazy has to happen for him to stay. For Klay, I think it's simple. And, you know, there's been some reports through Adrian Wojnarowski, who's a great reporter and a trial balloon a lot of times for agents. And I don't think the Warriors are foolish enough to make this mistake, but you never know. Arrogance and success, what did Riley call it, the disease of more, can apply to owners too and GMs. If they go to Klay Thompson on minute one of NBA free agency and say, here's your max deal, we respect you, we love you, we know what you're about, and we're not going to mess around.
Done
Klay
deal.
Thompson's a Warrior for the rest of his life. Yeah. If they get cute, and we've seen this before, right?
Yeah.
Or they think that they're the ones that are, you know, they misjudge Klay's value because they overstate their own, and they try to get cute, I think Klay Thompson might be a Laker next season.
Now you're speaking Tony's, upset with that, Bill. You're finally speaking Tony's language. He's begging for any free agent to come to the Lakers. So he would be.
Have you seen the soap opera we have right now?
Oh, I've seen it. I'm trying to read it. I can't follow it at the moment. Bill Ryder is with us talking about these NBA finals. And I mean, you have to pick Golden State if you've been following sports for the last half decade. And I think one of the real problems that Toronto has is everything we talked about with Kawhi Leonard is true, but he can't guard this many players. Like, he was able to slow Giannis down, and the other guys on Milwaukee, other than I think really Brogdon and Middleton, didn't step up as much as they normally do. But you know other Warriors are going to step up. Whoever he isn't guarding is going to be able to torch Toronto. And that's why this Warrior team is on the precipice, I think, of, you know, you have to name them among the greatest of all time if they win this championship.
I think you're absolutely right. Whoever Kawhi is assigned to, or if he splits minutes, you know, if he even takes on Steph for 10 or 15 minutes a game, he's going to be effective. I'm done doubting Kawhi Leonard, but you're right. I mean, this Raptors backcourt is among the shortest and least athletic defensively that the Warriors have gone up against, and that's advantage Steph or Klay or whoever it is. Draymond Green's averaging twice as many points in the postseason as he did the regular season. He's a triple-double machine. Klay Thompson once scored 40 points in a quarter for a reason. The ball is moving a lot more. It's a different kind of basketball with KD not around, and I think it certainly benefits Draymond and I think to a larger extent Klay Thompson. I agree with you guys, and I'll add this to why I think it's inevitable the Warriors win this thing. And not to hate on Milwaukee, I love Milwaukee, I think they have a bright future. They had that series in the bag. They were up 2-0, they were on the road in Game 3, they had an overtime, they had a double overtime. You win that game, that series is over, and Giannis fails to score a single point in that Game 3 overtime, or that double overtime. He fouled out with 36 seconds just into that double overtime. The Warriors don't make that mistake, and they've learned from that series that they lost to the Cavs, and they're up 3-1. Toronto's going to have lapses. They're going to have moments where Kawhi can't be on the floor or what you stated happens, right, where there's other guys guarding these dudes. And the Golden State Warriors, unlike the Milwaukee Bucks, having been through the wars, they're not going to halt or pause or misunderstand that even up 2-0, say, you got to put these guys down. I think it'll be a vastly different series as a result.
Bill, before we let you get out of here, last time we had you on, we talked a little bit about the Padres getting some national attention. Now, has that talk died down nationally out where you're at, or is this Padre team considered a dark horse?
Yeah, I think it's shifted a little bit, right? I mean, on my show, I talk a lot. It's like lead pass in the NBA. Like, I like watching the Padres because I feel like I'm watching the future of Major League Baseball,
right,
or one
right.
of the teams that are the teams of the future. I think most folks believe that this is going to be probably a year where the Padres are on the outside looking in terms of the playoffs. But there is general agreement that when they're healthy and as these young guys figure out the majors and get their sort of arms around what it means to be a big leaguer, we are looking at one of the teams to fear. You know, we'll see if this is the Cleveland Browns this year in the NFL. We've seen this in the past with teams in the NBA. You know, certainly we thought the Timberwolves would be that, and they weren't. But these young teams that you look at and you say, man, to hell with this year. Whatever happens this year, they're building something that's probably lasting and legitimate, and that is absolutely the consensus of the Padres. I don't think – in fact, I asked a buddy of mine who works for the Dodgers, are you afraid of the Padres? And he said, we're not afraid of anybody, but we'll be afraid of the Padres in a couple years. Like, that team's coming.
Wow. Let's just let that sink in, Padre fans. That's not bad to hear.
Take it all in.
Yeah, that's not coming from Tony and I being like homers. That's like coming from people that are watching what's going on. Hey, Bill, thanks for all the time. Thanks for the great insight. Love your stuff. It's great being able to have you on the program. We appreciate it. And enjoy the finals. Enjoy Kawhi and the Warriors. And we'll catch up with you soon. And I'm going to speak for Tony in saying that hopefully we can go back and say you were the one that said Klay Thompson to the Lakers first.
I'm rooting for you anytime. I just spent 3 days in San Diego. It's our favorite city on the West Coast, along with Portland. So that's where we go, Portland or San Diego for vacation. So thanks for having me on. It's great to be on the airwaves after being on the ground there for a few days.
All right, Bill, thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.